Such a beautiful sanctuary. Why don't you stand with me and we'll sing our national anthem together. A cappella, please, because we are thankful to be here. Rob, I think you better give me the first note or this is not going to go well.
Oh, Canada, our home in native land, true patriot love in all our sons command. With glowing hearts we see thee rise, the true north strong and free. From far and wide, O Canada, we stand on guard for thee. God keep our land glorious and free. O Canada, we stand on guard for thee. O Canada, we stand on guard for thee.
Play ball. Well done, Robbie. Thanks, Rob. There is another verse to that song that I like to read on certain occasions. It goes like this. O Canada, beneath thy shining skies, may stalwart sons and gentle maidens rise. That's cool and dated. To keep thee steadfast through the years from east to western sea. Beautiful biblical reference there. He, God, will have dominion from sea to sea. Our own beloved native land, our true north strong and free. Ruler supreme, our Lord Jesus Christ, who hears humble prayer. Hold our dominion within your loving care. Help us to find, O God, in thee a rich, lasting reward. Waiting for the better day, we ever stand on guard. God keep our land glorious and free. Speaking of stalwart sons and gentle maidens, yesterday in this beautiful building, thank you, Kathy, we had a beautiful wedding, and Deborah Dennison has that beautiful smile on her face for a number of reasons. Finally, an empty nest. But a joy unspeakable for beautiful kids and wonderful daughter-in-laws. And I know John, who drummed here for years, would be super proud on this day too. So congratulations, Deb. And I'm shocked you're here because I know how you party, my friend. Just kidding. Something also this week, this is the anniversary of my mother's passing this weekend, and I was glad that my mom had a wonderful life and played the piano and served the Lord and ended up going into glory before the pandemic. She would have never been able to survive that. We're very social people, but my mom's been with Jesus for a long time, and yesterday as well, thank you, Kathy, my friend, as you guys know very well, Colton Stewart, was married. He's over there on the left. And to Julie, and they'll be here to lead worship again at some point. And Stan, our beautiful Stan Shapiro, usually sits up here near Betty. Stan's Annie went to be with the Lord as well. And it's been a long haul for Stan, 2 years, and we've had a beautiful journey together. And I called him this morning. And at 3 o'clock in the morning, he woke up, and if you know Stan well, he just writes things down as he thinks of them. And he read his wife's eulogy because it came to him last night in the middle of the night. And I'm telling you, what a story they are as a family brought up in Judaism and now Escher entering into the idea of Christianity. And Stan's taught me something. 2 years, every single day, just like Kathy Pegg. Every day, Royal Terrace, with his wife. And he would say things like this, Dan, every day she fades away a little more. And that guy was faithful to his vows. And I love weddings, and I love marriages that are faithful and that are consistent. We're going to talk about loyal, lasting love today. Jonathan David, David Mephibosheth. Good job, Steve. Mephibosheth. I tried to phonetically spell it, but I just want to acknowledge Annie's passing and Stan's amazing faithfulness and what he's taught me as we've journeyed together. Thank you, Kathy. Next slide, please. Is it going? Okay, mercy from Ephesians. This is called King David's Finest Hour. We're in a series on mercy here. Jesus said, blessed are the merciful. Blessed is the flourishing. Good life is for those who are merciful. They will receive mercy. Mercy, be merciful, just as our Father in heaven is merciful. When I think of mercy, I think of lots of things. David is quite a character. He reminds me of a modern character. His name is Tiger Woods. Coronated at the 1997 Masters, won the first youngest guy to win it. 17, 16 under. It was like David's ladies singing, Saul has slain his thousands. David, his tens of thousands. But like many people in our lives, we love it when our heroes crash. A few years later, he's DUI. Thanks, Kathy. He's a DUI, and here he is with a mugshot. And charged 2017, and just like David, known for the crash with Bathsheba. Fortunately, God is merciful, and David is restored and comes to fruition. And now David is remembered by many, thank you, Kathy, by this glorious return. They call it the return to glory, and he won the Masters in 2019. And ironically, what people remember most, thank you, Kathy, is this moment, 1997 to 2019, bookends of a life that has tragedy, super highs, super lows. David's known by the Goliath moment. He's also known by the Mephibosheth moment. But as I said last week, when it comes to mercy, we are not defined by our worst or greatest moments in life, but by our relationship with our Father through our Lord Jesus Christ, our relationship with each other, our relationship with our Father. And David has what I call his finest hour, and it's when he meets Mephibosheth. It looks like this. Thanks, Kathy. David, his name means beloved, asks the question, is there anyone left in the household of Saul whom I can show the loving kindness? The word is hesed. It's the strongest word we have for kindness. We'll unpack it in a moment. It's loyal, lasting love, the love that Stan demonstrated to his wife, the love that young Russell and Georgia are entering into. Anyone left in the house? Loving kindness of God for Jonathan's sake. Jonathan means God is gracious. The names are important. There was a servant in Saul's household. Saul's name means ask or request. Named Ziba. His name means fight or statue. We'll find out later as you read the narrative. Ziba turns out to be not a very good guy. We're not going to unpack that today. They summoned him to appear before David. The king said to him, are you Ziba? Yeah, at your service. Typical rote, memorized line. And he recited, I'm at your service. Next slide, please. When we look into the loving kindness of God, the Hebrews has said it's loyal, covenantal character. We're going to talk about covenant. David and Jonathan's love for each other is built on a covenant. It's built on choice. It combines a steadfast loyalty, mercy, kindness, relational faithfulness. I love the marriages represented in this room. There's so much long-term relational faithfulness. We know the word agape in the New Testament. That's the love of God. It's sacrificial. And Romans makes it clear. Don't presume on the riches and the kindness, the forbearance, patience of God. He's asking a question. It's God's kindness that brings you to repentance. So two questions for you this week, two questions for me. Did you wake up this morning and say, is there anyone in Mount Forest whom I can show the loving kindness of God to? Is there anyone who I can demonstrate a heart of kindness that actually brings them out of their sin, out of their pain, out of their circumstance, and brings them to God himself? Thanks, Kathy. The history of Jonathan David is interesting. I don't want to take too much time on this, but it's worth studying. So those of you who are Bible scholars. You go into Samuel, read the whole thing in one sitting. It's absolutely magnificent. We are going to do a series on it. But David and Samuel are very, very close. And after the big Goliath moment that we're all familiar with, David has a moment with Jonathan, his friend, and says, David finishes talking with Saul. He's a little nervous. And Jonathan became one with him in spirit. Jonathan loved him as himself, his own soul. That word is a hav. It's a different love. It's a relational, lasting friendship love, like the love in the New Testament, philos, brotherly love. And he says he loved him as he loved himself. Unless you're really struggling with a serious mental illness, chances are you woke up this morning and you tended to your own needs. You looked after yourself. It's amazing when you're around people who have disabled parents and children, their default setting is to look after the other. They understand that they don't live for self. They live for the other. Something we need to consider. It's a beautiful thing. And Jonathan, in his heart, preferred David to himself. And he cut a covenant. The word cut is deliberate. It doesn't say made in the Hebrew. It says cut a covenant with David because he loved him as he loved himself. And Jonathan took off his robe. It's just so reminiscent of the prodigal son. Here's my robe. Here's my tunic. Here's my sword. Here's everything I have. Interesting how Saul tried to do that. And David said, this doesn't fit. But he takes it from Jonathan. It's quite beautiful because Jonathan has invested time with him. Do you love your friends? Do you love your family? Love is spelt sometimes T-I-M-E. How much time are you spending with those people you love? David took it, no questions asked. And the idea of cutting a covenant, it's amazing how we set up our pews with rows and we got this little space down here. It's very deliberate. There's a covenant that is cut between Moses and God, Abraham and God himself. And God, it says, passes through the pieces of the animal. The covenant sort of practice was take an animal. If you're poor, it's a dove. If you're wealthy, it's a bull, and cut it in half. Place the pieces. Just put them down. Because we cut the covenant, place them down in a long, long row here, and you walk through with the other person. It's beautiful when you watch a marriage. I want you to think of this. And then you walk down that aisle. You walk between those pieces, and you're making the statement, when I walk through these pieces, I'm going to keep my word. I'm going to keep my vows. I'm going to keep my promise. And if I don't, may I become like this animal. It's very powerful language. It's a very powerful statement to cut a covenant with someone. David and Jonathan have this bond. I will die if I don't demonstrate my love for you. And what's beautiful about the gospel of Jesus is when God walks through that covenant, he puts Abraham to sleep over here, and he walks through alone. This covenant does not depend on your death and your righteousness and your actions. It depends on my death. And God walks through alone, and Jesus suffers on that hill alone, so that you and I can enter into that covenant. So you don't have to work up the keeping of the covenant. You simply say, thank you, God in heaven, for your promises. I will trust you. Thank you. David and Jonathan are great friends, and we're going to go ahead a little bit. And may it be, yeah, that same, sorry, Kathy, we'll move on. The language here, if you look it up, next slide, please, Kathy. We've got to erase a little bit. Next one, thanks. The language in the covenant David makes with Jonathan has all the language of the forever covenants of God. Remember Noah? I will never flood the earth again. I'm not going to judge this way anymore forever. I will put my hand on the house of David forever. Moses, this law, this covenant is forever. So the language David sets up is forever language. And then he lives it out in relationship. And this is true friendship. I wanted to mention that David and Jonathan are so close. Jonathan, it says, David is fleeing from Saul at the time. You can see it in green. And Jonathan went to David. Isn't that beautiful? Samuel 23. When someone's really hurting and there's no one around as a people of God, we need to pursue, go to the pain. It's not often going to come to you. And David goes, Jonathan goes to David at Horesh because he's hurting, and he helped him find strength in God. Love pursues, love points up to the Lord. Good friends don't get people to rely on them. Good friends get people to rely on God. Sometimes it takes a while. And then a bunch of chapters later, David is really in serious trouble. They've burned down at Ziklag. They've burnt down a little town that he was hiding in under the Philistine occupation. And in 1 Samuel 30, this is beauty of the beauty of their friendship. David was greatly distressed because the men were talking of stoning him. These are his fighting men. These are his inner circle. They were talking of stoning him. They were bitter in spirit because their wives had been kidnapped, their sons had been kidnapped, and their daughters. And David's worried. Well, David remembers his friends. And it says, David found strength in the Lord his God. What a great testimony for you and for me that the people we encounter, the people we spend time with would say, yes, Dan's a good friend, but now I find my strength in God himself because of my friend. We want to be those kind of people. Thank you, Kathy. Story continues. The king says, is there anyone left alive in the household of Saul whom I can show the kindness, chesed, same word, loyal, faithful, Stan Shapiro love, the kindness of God. Ziba said, oh, there's still someone left. His name's Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth ironically means dispeller of shame. But he's lame in both feet. Learned something really powerful this week, you guys. I've always known Mephibosheth as being lame, and I'll tell you why in a moment. But that word lame not only means broken in your feet, it means contrite and broken in your heart. Those moments where we think of the things that we've thought and done and said that have offended the Lord Jesus, and we have that contrition, a broken spirit, Psalm 51, a contrite heart, he will not despise. David is being the actual conduit of God and the Lord Jesus Christ to this individual, Ziba, and then Mephibosheth. Samuel 4, 2 Samuel 4, we find out how Mephibosheth became lame. And ironically, on this particular day, 20 years ago, before my mom's funeral, the Lord downloaded this passage because my mom loved the underdog. She loved to be around people who were hurting. It was just amazing. And Mephibosheth was broken in his, he was lame in his feet because a nurse, very well-meaning in 2 Samuel 4, picked him up. Jonathan and Saul were in a battle, and she thought, I'm going to save this little boy named Mephibosheth. He was young, and she ran out of the house, and she tripped and dropped him, and both his feet were broken. I want you to think about something that's going to be difficult to think about. But this came to my mind. Over the years, has some well-meaning individual, a friend, done something well-meaning, and it's hurt you? And it's lasted for a long time. Often well-meaning, godly people, friends, who mean their best, hurt you and me. And it's lasted his whole life. We'll discover that Mephibosheth is a man of faith and a man of forgiveness. We have to live there. Faith in the Lord, because you can't forgive without him. Forgiveness to the neighbor. That's what it means by loving God and loving your neighbor. Lots of opportunity this week for you and for me to forgive. Trust me, it'll come up. Where is he, the king asked. David, again, with the heart of God, where is he? He wants to pursue. Ziba says, well, he's in Makur, which means barter or trade. Son of Amiel. Amiel's a beautiful word. It means a people of God in Lodebar. Lodebar. It means pastureless, the place of naught, or you could actually translate it nowhere. Cue the Beatles. He's a real nowhere man living in his nowhere land. Anyways, thanks, Kathy. I better move on. So he's in nowhere. So the King David brought him from nowhere, from the house of Makir, son of Mephibosheth, son of Jonathan the Beloved, son of Saul, came to David. He bows. Now, that translation said he bowed down and paid him honor. I looked up a few more. Most of them say he threw himself face down on the ground, likely petrified. Think about that. A disabled man, maybe in a wheelchair, maybe with his walker, maybe with his cane and legs. He throws himself on the ground. That's painful and really humble. And Mephibosheth, by virtue of what has happened in his life, lives a life of humility. What is it? What is it in your life and mine that the Lord has said, I'm going to give you this gift of pain that's going to keep you really humble and really close and on your face in relationship with me? I know what mine is. I wonder if you've thought about what God has entrusted you with. We use a phrase in my circle, don't trust anyone who doesn't walk with a little bit of a limp. Jacob wrestled with God all night, and he changed his name to Israel, from the deceiver to one who struggles and is a prince with God, and he walked with a limp for the rest of his life. I don't know what your limp is. Find someone who knows. Walk with them. Help them find strength in God, and you'll find strength in God. So King David brought him from Lodabar. Mephibosheth, son of Jonathan, throws himself down. Again, the humility. Psalm 51, you can read it. It's beautiful. Mephibosheth says, at your service. First thing David says is, don't be afraid. Most quoted verse in the Bible. Don't be afraid. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord brings wealth, honor, life. It's okay if you come to the Lord a little bit nervous. And he says, don't be afraid. It's beautiful. I will. I highlighted these because it's I love the I wills in the Bible. I will show you chesed for the sake of Jonathan, which is so picturesque. We love each other because of Jesus. We love each other because of Jesus. I'll show you a kind of, I will restore to you the land that belonged to your grandfather Saul. You will always eat at my table. That's powerful. Would you like the people around you? Would you like their lives to change? Would you like to see people grow in Christ? Would you like to see lasting, dynamic change? Then bring people over to your house and eat with them. Bring them in. Sit them down. Disciple them. Love them. It's wonderful. 50-year jubilee, this is sort of a throwback. He's going to restore everything. Sometimes a jubilee didn't happen, and David says, I'm going to do a table fellowship. I've mentioned there, table fellowship is total acceptance, communion. When you come to the Lord's table, he wants you to eat at his table daily. There's always room at the table for everybody, the broken, the sinful, the hurting. You know the only people who aren't at the table, guys? Is the Pharisees who think they're better than everyone and are looking around trying to find everybody else's sins but their own. They're not welcome at the table because they want no part of that. Because it's mercy. The table is filled with mercy. Thanks, Kathy. Well, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is very, very, we use the phrase, the best commentary on the Bible is the Bible. And it's the cheapest one because you get them both. So basically, David is mirroring this beautiful work of God that is unpacked in Ephesians. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. You can read the stuff that's highlighted with me, as Eli prompted us last week, who's blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's do it. In him, we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. And that'll take about 55 volumes to fill out. Come to Bible study. We'll talk to you about that. In order that we who were first to put our hope in Christ. Beautiful. God chooses, and then you put your hope. Isn't that great? That's the gospel. He chooses you, but you put your hope in him, that we might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, when you believed. That belief is a strong casting yourself at the feet of Jesus' belief. It's not a mental assent to certain truth. It's a commitment to saying, I will have this man to rule over me, Jesus. When you believed, you were marked with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who's a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. His glory, your joy. That's life. Thanks, Kathy. Story continues. Mephibosheth bowed down and said, "What is your servant that you should notice a dead dog like me?" We've gone through that. Thanks, Kathy. He's a very humble man. Then the king summoned Ziba. Who imagines? This is awesome. He's been looking after Mephibosheth all these years, and he's kind of in control, and he says, "I've given your master's grandson," that's Saul, "everything that belonged to Saul's family, the year of Jubilee. And you and your sons and your servants are to farm the land for him." This is so cool, gang. "Bring him the crops so that he may be provided for, but he's going to eat at my table." That's awesome. Yeah, Mephibosheth, the grandson, your master, will always eat at my table. The second time it repeats that. It repeats it four times. It's really cool. Emphasis. So, and Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. And Ziba's like, "Oh, okay. Isn't that great? You have been brought into the family of God. Relationship with him. In Christ you receive it all, the divine nature at the moment you believe. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Herb prayed it. You can receive eternal life right now through Jesus Christ, right now. Eternal life starts now. Thanks, Kathy. In his great mercy, he's given us new birth into a living hope and into an inheritance. It never perishes. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you. His divine power has given you everything. That's the picture of the life of Mephibosheth. You get it all for a godly life. He who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us very great and precious promises so that through them you may participate in the divine nature. I'd like to ask you to enjoy the divine nature of the Lord this week in your relationships, because it's a gift. And if you say, I can't live the Christian life, Jesus always replies, "I never said you could, but I can. And I always said that I would, in and through you, every minute of every day." Then Ziba says to the king, "Your servant will do whatever the Lord commands." Third time, and David ate at the table like one of the king's sons. "Behold what manner of love the Father has given at us, that we should be called sons of God. As many as received him," says John, "to them he gave the power to be sons, daughters, welcomed into the family." I love this. Verse 12, Mephibosheth had a young son named Micah. That presupposes something, friends. If Mephibosheth had a young son, he had an amazing woman who said, "I'll marry you, I'll love you, I'll walk with you." That's a tough one. That's a tough one. When God calls you to be in a long-term relationship with someone who has a pretty serious disability. But he calls some of us to that. And he calls some of us. You're going to walk with someone who may not be perfect. Thank God for my wife. She knows exactly what that feels like. Just go back, Kathy, please. Kathy wants me to finish. I love it. No. Next one, please. Thanks, Kathy. Where were we? We're at Micah. Next one, please. Next. Perfect. Micah means who is like the Lord. Who is like the Lord? What a great name for a kid. Imagine this guy bouncing his little guy on his, knowing that I've received everything from God himself, and I'm going to name you one who is like the Lord, because I know what it's like to be disabled and hurt and broken and sinful, and God has made me like him. And the members of Ziba's household were the servants of Mephibosheth. Thank you, Kathy. Finally, we'll close the last word. The last word. And that's great. And Mephibosheth lived in, can you say it? Jerusalem. The city of peace. The city of the great king. Imagine your disability, your sinful patterns, your pain. God says, you can live in peace, even though you got problems. Isn't that great? We can live in peace relationally, even with problems. And he always ate at the king's table. It's the fourth time, actually. Actually, it is the third. He was lame in both feet. He didn't get better. He didn't go to the Benny Hinn conference and get the feet healed. He didn't get to the counselor and the mental illness went away. He walked with a limp, lame his whole life. And my dear friends, you may too. If you're honest, you may too. But you get to eat at the table of King Jesus every day for the rest of your life until he says, well done. Because what I'm done ushered in to the presence of the divine, bearing the divine. Now you're in his presence. Isn't that great? Isn't that great? As we walk with Jesus in our brokenness, he says, you can eat at my table. This is why I'm really, really, it's important to me that when you're invited to this table and you feel unworthy and broken, please just tell the Lord how unworthy and broken you feel and take communion. Participate in communion whenever you can, at your tables, at home, here. He was lame in both feet. He probably prayed, Lord, would you please just let me get better, like many of us do. And in the words to the Apostle Paul, Jesus just whispers, my grace is sufficient. My power, my life, my dynamic flows through weakness. You okay being weak and broken and sinful? I am, but his grace is sufficient. And he'll make you just like him if you trust him. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for the sound of a baby's coo. May we be like that, Lord, resting in your arms, weak, vulnerable, crying out to you, safe in the arms of a grandma, a mom. Thank you, Lord, that you take us where we are. Give us the divine nature so we can live like you on earth and grow and love each other just like we love ourselves. Thanks for David and Jonathan and Mephibosheth and Ziba and all the broken people that you made new because of your grace. Thank you. Your grace is amazing, and we receive it today. In the name of Jesus, amen. Praise team, thank you for coming. I'm sure we got some fellowship in the fellowship hall after today. Take some time this week, crack open your Bible with some friends and ask the Lord what he would say to you. And maybe after a meal, you can pull out the grape juice and pull out some bread and say, hey, why don't we remember the Lord's death at a meal, at a cottage, on the beach, wherever you are, celebrate his grace. It's amazing. We need it every day.
Please join with us.